All right, good evening to those who are participating with this call through BBS Radio. We are broadcasted live worldwide, right? And we are still live welcoming people who are calling in over had another few people call in, and I welcome you folks, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Dharmanand in Boulder Creek, California.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good.
All right.
Hey, and this is Rosalie in Huntsville, Alabama.
Hi, Rosalie. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for being here. Let's see, 4 minutes till the hour, and we still wait for Wynn. And I hear an echo. Right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Right. Well, we welcome you. Thank you for being here. Okay. I have an echo from future line. I hope you don't. I just want to get rid of the echo. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. Thank you for being here.
Only if you want to.
To the call, please say your name and location.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, Joel. Chicago.
Yeah, hi, Joel. Good evening. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Hi, Joel.
And somebody else came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Mac from Utah.
Hey, Mac, how you doing?
Good.
All right.
Hi, Mac.
Good evening, and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Brexville. Hi, Heist. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi,
how are you
doing?
Good. Good.
All right. Thank
you. Hi, Don.
Hi.
Mac is somebody new, huh?
Mac has been here plenty of times.
Oh.
Yes. And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Hey, Nancy. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
It's been great. Lovely evening here.
Great.
Bye, Nancy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi.
Hey, Wynn.
You know what? Marilyn and Donna did such a good job yesterday.
I heard about it.
I mean, it was like one giant giggle.
That's awesome. I'm very glad to hear that.
I think even Dwayne liked them.
All right. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
You're back. This is Steve in Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
I shouldn't ask that. I forgot. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's okay.
It's good to hear the voice anyway.
Wynn.
Is Donna on the line?
Yes, he is.
I'm here.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Wynn. It's good to hear your voice. I almost said it. If I haven't, I guess.
I have to bite my tongue, you know.
That's all right. I can't control what people say.
Just don't answer the question, you know?
Yeah. Wynn, I have a question for you. Do you know all the words bubbles?
Do I know?
Hello?
Hi, Susan.
Hello? Hi.
Eyes can do it in one little left.
And I want to welcome, in the meantime, the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Kathy from Rockland.
Hi, Kathy.
California.
Oh.
Thank you.
Hi, Kathy. Else?
The next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
I just got cut off. I just dialed in again.
All right. Welcome back, Mac.
Yes, Donald.
Hello.
Hey, well, my name is Pierre Woods from Prescott.
Who's that in Prescott? Pierre Woods.
Hey, Pierre, are you here? Oh, Pierre Woods?
Yeah, exactly. How's it going, Wim?
Hey, Pierre, you're not here because of Dwayne, are you?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know who Dwayne is, actually. I haven't been on the call for a while, but I just decided to call up, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well,
good
place to have you.
Oh, all right. When the dings are off, it's 6:02. We're live on BBS.
Are we muted?
Nope.
Nope. Heard your cosmic giggle.
we're not muted yet. I'm just...
I'll be leaving my console here for a moment during the call, all right?
All right, I've got the console. I'm going to say the console.
The console.
The console. Is Terry on the line?
The line is in. I have not heard her voice yet.
Well, hi, talk to everybody for just a minute.
All right. So, Terry, if you're here, you might be muted on your own end because your line is open on our end.
Yeah, I was muted.
All right.
A little bit
more.
That hum is my line. It started to hum when I unmuted myself.
All right. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I'm doing good.
Terry, I hear they're doing graduate courses at UMU University.
Well, I'd probably better sign up.
Welcome to the call.
I go to unmute, and the unmute square turns red. And I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, we've been waiting for you. We are ready to start.
Okay.
I mean, we're not really ready to start. Are you ready to start?
Not really ready.
We're the never ready batteries.
Right.
Hey, well, buddy, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
What's up, guys?
Chris.
Man.
Chris, you want to know what? Chris, you are sounding more grounded.
What's that?
You're sounding more grounded.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been told...
You don't have a job? You don't have a job, do you?
Well, that job thing, I don't know if it's going to work out too good. I think I might do some Chippendales dancing or something.
Ooh! Well, good. Where?
Yeah. You know, because they're lacking in 5'7", 140-pound, you know, Chippendales dancers, you know, around.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, you know, Marilyn would go see you if she was married.
Tell him on YouTube.
Dress up like a policeman and pull somebody over, you know. And...
You know, one day we'll have you do a dance slower on the phone. Well, that way. Only the people who can astral travel and remote view will know what everyone else is missing.
That might consider that a psychic attack.
Psychic vampires.
Well, do you guys notice that, you know, when you came here to these calls, you said, oh, my God, the Elohim. Jeez, I'm going to be saved. And you hang out on these calls, and you find out that really what happens is you get a chance to surface all this stuff that has been inside of you.
Yeah, been buried forever.
buried, and it starts coming out, and that's the process. But what sneaks they are, right? You know, it's like, I mean, I'm learning myself. Geez, when we started talking to the Elohim, I know Heise is thinking, better start the recorder. Okay, here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 22nd, 2013, and we were just talking.
Muted.
Those of us that are on, I guess people on BBS are hearing it. In fact, they probably record the preamble stuff on BBS, but usually on the replays, you don't get it. So we were talking about how when you start coming into these calls, when you first hear about it, and, you know, keep in mind, I don't know how this works. I mean, I am learning as I go, just as you are. Where do you find a guidebook to figure this out? There isn't one, really. And when you first start hearing the Elohim, and you think, wow, this is going to be good. All my problems are going to disappear. And then shortly thereafter, your problems probably get worse because all your stuff starts coming up. And, you know, the first thing that happens, once you get over the idea that, wow, the Elohim, I'm going to be saved, the Ra group, as we're all discovering, no matter how you play it, you have to save yourself. And one of the parts of that process is letting things surface, letting the garbage surface, letting those patterns of past lives that have been really horrible surface, letting pain surface. And as it's surfacing it, learning how to accept it and process it, and let it flow through you, and let go of it. And it's not necessarily a fast process. I mean, in terms of the cosmos, it's fast, because most of us have had lots of lifetimes, hundred thousand years in this realm, maybe more, maybe millions of years, some of us. And how crazy it is, every time you come in, you don't know a thing. It's like starting over, except all of this stuff that's buried in your track. And so when it starts to come up and surface and you're suffering or you're going through it, the best attitude is to just look at it, and be grateful for it. I'm so glad this is coming up. I'm so glad because I'm going to work it through and let it go through and release. That's the fastest way to move through it, no matter what it is. If it's pain, sorrow, anger, hatred, you know, it's okay. Those things can come up for us. And if you're judging yourself, you're going to not like that hatred. But don't judge yourself. Just don't act on it. You know, one of the things about energy is that when you act on something, when you do something, when you say unkind words to someone, when you go into rage and blame, and when you do it in such a way that you manifest it in words, it's now in the world. You put it out, somebody else has received it, and you're creating karma. You're creating feelings that someone else is holding that you're responsible for, and that's not what you want to do. So don't put it out. I mean, now, I'm not saying it's never appropriate to be angry. If somebody is encroaching on you, if somebody is moving into your space,
where they're violating your boundaries, anger is an appropriate response. And that doesn't create karma. I mean, the person knows they're doing that, usually. Whether they do or they don't, you still have the right and privilege to a dominion over your own space. So you can push them away. And if anger is what pushes them away, it's okay. But that's not the kind of anger I'm talking about. Now, that can be very conscious anger. It doesn't have to be like you're holding it. But on some level, the person knows what they're doing, and they know they deserve that. So it's not bad. But it's anger. Like, for example, someone did something karmically to you in another lifetime, and they just always make you angry, and you don't know that's why you're angry. When you start raging towards them, that is creating karmic patterns. And, you know, a month later, you may have cleared that pattern, and they're still holding it. Some of you might note, I've noted this, is that when you're meeting with someone, you hold their energy in your consciousness with the energy of the way it was when you separated. So if you're yelling and screaming and that's the way you separated, 2 months later, that's the energy that's being held in the space. So if you can, and you can't always do it, but if you find yourself in that kind of space with someone, try to clear it before you separate it. Because otherwise, that energy holds in the space, and it's in the universe, and it's impacting everyone. It's impacting you and the other person. And you do that with a few people, and your life can become very stuck. So, clear things. You know, one of the ways you can clear things is, you know, to catch yourself. Even if you did it, even if you made a mistake, you tell the person, listen, I'm going through something. I don't want to deal with it out of this angry space. We'll just come back to it later. And, you know, I care about you. If you can say it honestly, say, I care about you. And then move on. So at least you left some kind of harmonious energy and not in an angry energy. And, you know, watch what you say and what you do. You can't help anger that's inside it. You can't. And other people will feel it. It doesn't mean they won't feel it. People feel, you know, everyone's tuned into everybody. And so they'll feel things. But you're not karmically responsible. You can't even help it. I mean, the only thing you can do is judge yourself or accept it. And if you judge yourself, now you're stuffing it again. You're putting it back and say, I can't feel that. And then it never gets worked out. So the key to working things out is to letting them surface. And if you have people around you that can understand this process, then let them know, you know, if you can surface stuff around them without them taking it personally, that can be good. So this is totally off track. I said we're going to go back to the Bible, the Old Testament, but really we're going back to prior to the Old Testament. And I can't tell you how fascinating this has been as I've been studying this for the past few weeks. One, just if you're listening tonight, you weren't on last week, I'll just give a quick synopsis. That is, the topic was the Old Testament Revisited, but really, we went back prior to the Old Testament, and there's a lot of evidence. And when I've asked questions about it to our sources, they have concurred that this is the way it was is that, you know, we've talked about the Elohim coming into this realm, taking bodies, and when they had bodies, they got stuck here. They couldn't get back out easily, if at all. And they had a certain superiority to the indigenous beings here because they were Elohim. They may not have been talking to the Elohim. That's pretty unusual in this realm to have the kind of rapport that we've had with the Elohim. But they knew they had power. They knew they were advanced. And they, you know, in terms of DNA, their DNA was above the indigenous people, or the apes. They weren't indigenous people. In the episode we're talking about, and apparently this episode happened more than once, there were some Anunnaki gold miners that came and landed a spaceship in Africa to mine gold, and the Anunnaki were derivatives of the Elohim. And there were two brothers, and they decided that their bodies, Anunnaki bodies, were not that good at heavy labor, or else they were lazy, I don't know. But they decided they were going to create a hybrid between their genetics and the apes, because they could get a really strong being to do this manual labor. So they created hybrids, and the first run of the hybrids couldn't reproduce. They didn't want them to procreate. So they had to keep making new hybrids. And they were being gestated in the women. And the women were not that happy about having babies all the time. And so one of the brothers, and there was a conflict about this between the two brothers, one of the brothers was absolutely against allowing the hybrids to procreate, and the other one wanted them to. And so these two brothers were Enlil and Enki, and Enki is the one that wanted the hybrids to procreate. And so he did it. He kind of did it secretly, and thus was the beginning. You know, some of you have heard of the missing link. How did humans get connected with apes? We couldn't find the transition. And actually, when I was studying this, they found bodies in Africa, skeletons of what would be these hybrids, and said it was the missing link. And so now the humans were developing, and they were slaves, but they were fairly smart. I mean, the Anunnaki were smart. So they had, you know, they weren't just dumb. They were fairly sharp. And they kind of resented after a while being slaves. And the Anunnaki were trying to control them. And the Anunnaki was very advanced. They could control weather patterns. In fact, some of you have read, and I think it might be true, that there are forces that are controlling a lot of weather on our planet now. Some people say that some of the earthquakes were triggered artificially, and that the Anunnaki could do this kind of stuff. And so they would impress these humans with their powers, and they say, we're going to have a rainstorm, but it would rain. And so the humans would think they were God or gods, and they would worship them. And this is the way the Anunnaki tried to control them. And this was how our original idea of God came about, through these Anunnaki who were actually presenting themselves that way to create fear in the humans so they would cooperate. And it worked for a while, and then the humans started running away, and they started making cities. and one city, one country, Sumeria, which is considered the oldest city that we have records for. And there are all these tablets in Sumeria that people have been translating, that they've put together some of this information. A guy named Zachariah Sitchin is probably the most famous person who uncovered this. And as humans were developing, these guys were still there and still presenting themselves as gods. And so there were these different cities in Sumeria, and they would have different of the Anunnaki would be the god of that city ruling over it. And so Enlil still was into controlling or doing away with humans, and Enki was trying to preserve them and actually make them full-blooded, aware, conscious beings who were connected to the universe. And so when we looked at the Old Testament, many of the, you know, there were a lot of different names for God in the Old Testament. There's a few. Elohim was one. Yahweh was one. What was the other one? Jehovah was one. And then, of course, when you go into Egypt, there was all the gods. And all of those gods were real, and they were these Anunnaki who were taking the role of gods and walking around. Apparently, they were walking around the cities, but they also had spaceships, and they could fly. And this was the origins of all the myths of the Old Testament. And the Enlil contingency, Enlil was the guy who wanted to do away with humans. If you start reading about it on the internet, because there's a lot on it, you'll find a lot of agreement that Sodom and Gomorrah, which was where a city disappeared in a flash, if you don't look back, if you recall, Sodom and Gomorrah was a nuclear weapon going off in the city. And Yahweh, who was talking about, you know, fearing, being God-fearing, God, the whole idea of God-fearing came from that period of time. And, and sacrifice. And, you know, these guys all were, you know, creating rain and, you know, impressing people with all their powers, and it was easy to get people to be their followers, and that's how the Old Testament was developing. And then sometimes they would be fighting with each other, like in the story of Jezebel. There was one of the god forms that's called Baal, B-A-A-L, and then there was Yahweh. And they would fight for control and recognition of the people to see who was the strongest god. And this is what our Judeo-Christian background is based on. And so now this is all going on, and you have these group souls up there, and there's, you know, they're not really having much room to intervene, although in one instance, the question I asked, and it was in the Creator God book, they said one of their interventions was with Solomon, and that Solomon could connect with them, and the way they described it is they could bring a light down on the people. And when I read that, I didn't understand what that meant, but since we've been doing these calls, I can feel how that works, because I think many of you are having that experience. And if you're new to the call, to keep coming in, just keep paying attention, because there's an energy, a around this work that we do. And it's not for me. I show up. And, you know, I started to notice the pattern, I guess, in 2004, 2005, just the beginning of it, that I would show up and the energy would change somewhere. And there would be this tremendous energy in the room on the phone call. And I started to think, was that them? How does that? They told me it was when I asked them. It kept happening. And as many of you know, it happens on these conference calls, particularly our Sunday call. So if you've never listened to a Sunday call, we emphasize bringing that energy in. My idea from an observation is that they're in the background paying real attention to us all the time on these calls. And they will come in a way that could expand us, could clear energies out of our body, and help us with requests or intentions and with cause things to happen. But they are not God in the traditional sense. I would imagine from their point of view, it's rather frustrating, because when the universe was started, everything had free will. And so it was developing, and as it developed, the free will aspect of things caused certain beings to want to control others, to exploit others, to make money off of others. And people, beings in this realm, started to lose their connection that they were part of all that is. And they, as most of you know, it's very easy in this realm to feel alienated, isolated, disconnected. And the amazing thing with these calls is that energy comes in, and suddenly that feeling starts to shift, and you don't feel so separate. And even now, as we're talking, we have all of you on this call that are listening, but you're not even in a room. You can't see each other, and yet there's an ambience of a connection that starts to develop, that is developed, that has developed now amongst people that have been coming to their calls, and they feel the energy, the connection. So when they get to meet each other, if it's the best way, they start to recognize who someone really is immediately, because that's what happens on these calls, who people really are, surface, comes to surface. So there were a number of, I did a session with Terry during the week, and I asked some questions that were in my mind, because the complexity of the humans on this planet is more complex than just this one incident that happened in Africa, the Emil Enki incident. And there are other, what they call root races, that came in from different planets. And I'm trying to remember here. I'm just going to see if I can look it up on the internet. I remember Ed Casey talked about root races. In fact, Ed Casey prophesied a new fifth root race would emerge, and this new discovery. Oh, well, I'm not going to try to read it. But nonetheless, if there was a fifth root race, that would mean there would have been four root races, or four different times that there have been situations where extraterrestrials were here on the Earth and they did something to create, I don't know if we don't know the answers, but I would certainly imagine the Chinese are a root race, the Asians are a root race, and we might, last week I kept talking and we didn't ask any questions. Tonight we might bring them in and ask some questions through Terry about this. And, but I suspect that China would have been a root race, who else would have been? We would ask. I wonder where the Scandinavians came from, because they're definitely a unique breed. And, but we'll see. Maybe they'll tell us. I don't know if they're going to tell us or not. But many of us on this line that are attracted to this work probably come from this seeding of the Anunnaki and the Old Testament, New Testament lineage of evolution that occurred. And when I asked a question about this, they said that I was there in that period, and I might have been an Anunnaki at that time. I don't know if they wouldn't tell me if I was anywhere proud of it, and I'm glad because I didn't want to know, but, and that probably Daphne was there, and whatever we're doing now might have started back then. But see, even this kind of information, if I'm curious, they don't answer me. I keep reading it, and if I can nail it, sometimes they'll tell me. They'll say, yes, that's it. But, you know, it's like sometimes it's not good to know. It's not good. Sometimes it's okay to know, and sometimes it's not good. But usually, if you have a resonance, if you read this stuff and you hear it, and you're fascinated by it, there's a good chance you had something to do with it. Usually, any part of history that you are extremely curious about, you have a passion for learning about, usually you are there, whether it's Greece or whether it's Egypt or whether it's Sumeria or whether it was Jerusalem with Jesus. And the interesting thing about the Sumerian epic that we're talking about, that there is a huge amount. In today's email, if you're interested, if this all resonates, you want to go further. There's a university in London or in England. They've had a big project of translating these Sumerian tablets. And they've posted their translations. And to me, it's totally fascinating because there's proverbs, there's poems. These are not cavemen, okay? Usually when you think of these precursors to humans, you think of cavemen. Now, there were cavemen. There were Neanderthal men. And that was a whole other story. This is a particular root race that stemmed from that area that we all here are very likely connected with. Not necessarily positive, but likely. That's one of the reasons we're attracted. Whether we were one of the early hybrids and whether we were one of the Anunnaki, I don't know. One of the things on the Enki line, that because Enki wanted to evolve the humans, the way the story goes is that he was encouraging sex and intimate relationships with the women. That was a way of sharing energy that would help open the DNA of the women. You know, we talked about this earlier. It is the energy that we're in. You know, on these calls, when you feel this energy coming in on the call, that is an energy that is helping you open your chakras and open your DNA strength. It's teaching you how to do that. not me, but the energy, and intimacy, when somebody that's more evolved has an intimate connection with somebody that's less evolved, there's an exchange of energy where it helps open the energies of the person who is less evolved in the right circumstance. You know, this is not something to say, I'm more evolved, let's have sex. You know, there has to be care, love, service, everything, and for it to work. But the Enki, you know, in the Old Testament, one of the lines of the Old Testament was, the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. And that's what it was. This is exactly what it was talking about. So I took a couple of things here out of these Sumerian translations. I thought I'd read a couple of them. And you can see how they, if they resonate. I found it fascinating, and maybe some of you might trigger you into more study of this period. I remember Enki was the Anunnaki who was into evolving the humans. And this is something about Enki. Pure are the cities, and you are the ones to whom they are allotted. Pure is Dolmen land. Pure is Sumar, and you are the ones to whom it is allotted. Pure is Dolmen land. Pure is Dolmen land. Virginal is Dolmen land. Virginal is Dolmen land. Pristine is Dolmen land. Now, I think they're talking about either city. Dolmen is a city. Pure are the cities. And you are the ones to whom they are allotted. So I was trying to see what that meant. It sounds like they were building cities for the humans. He laid her down all alone in Dolmen, and the place where Enki had laid down with his spouse, that place was still virginal. That place was still pristine. He laid her down all alone in Dolmen, and the place, now they repeat themselves. I'm not going to repeat it. In Dolmen, the raven was not yet cawing, the partridge not cackling, the lion did not slay, the wolf was not carrying off lambs, the dog had not been taught to make kids curl up, the pig had not learned that grain was to be eaten. When a widow has spread malt on the roof, the birds did not eat the malt up there. The pigeon then did not tuck the head under its wing. No eye diseases, said there. I am the eye disease. No headache, said there. I am the headache. No old women belonging to it, said there. I am an old woman. No old man belonging to it, said there. I am an old man. No maiden in her unwashed state in the city. No man dredging a river, said there, it is getting dark. No herald made the rounds in his border district. No singer sang an Elulam there. Elulam, Elulam. No wailings were wailed in the city's outpost there. Vincicula said to her father, Enki, you have given a city. What does your giving avail me? You have given a city Dolmen. You have given a city. What does your city avail me? You have given a city that has no river quay. You have given a city. What does your city avail me? Sounds like she's saying, what are you giving all this stuff to all these humans for? You're not giving anything to me. I don't know if that's what she means or not. A city that has no fields, glebe, or furrow. Enki answered, Sikala, when Utu steps up into heaven, fresh water shall run out of the ground for you from the standing vessel on Enzian shore, from Nana's radiant high temple, from the mouth of the waters running underground. May the waters rise up from it into your great basins. May your city drink water aplenty from them. May Dolmen drink water aplenty from them. May your pools of salt water become pools of fresh water. May your city become an emporium on the quay for the land. May Dolmen become an emporium on the quay for the land. May the land of Tuklis hand over to you gold from Harili, lapis lazuli, and may the land of Meluha load precious, desirable carnelian wood and the best aba wood. May the land of Barhasa yield you precious stones, topazes. May the land of Vajin. Now, it sounds like he's telling his daughter all the great things about the city, and that obviously she's his daughter, so on some level, she's going to probably one day be a goddess in this city, or the god of the city. And she cried out, by the life's breath of heaven, I adjure you, whatever that means, lie down for me in the marsh. Lie down for me in the marsh. That would be joyous. Enki distributed his semen, destined for Damgalnuna. He poured semen into in her saga's womb, and she conceived the semen in the womb, the semen of Enki. I guess that's their way of talking about sex. It's probably better than the way they do it now. But her 1 month was 1 day, and her 2 months were 2 days, and her 3 months were 3 days, and her 8 months were 8 days, and her 9 months were 9 days. In the month of womanhood, like oil of abundance, Mentor, mother of the country, like fine oil, gave birth to Minisig. And Minisig went out to the riverbank. Enki was able to see up there. From the marsh, he was able to see up there. He was. He said to his minister, is this nice youngster not to be kissed? His minister answered him, is this nice youngster not to be kissed? And my master will sail, let me navigate, he will sail. Okay, well, you're getting the idea. I mean, these guys are fairly uninhibited in the way they write, and they talk about things, and even a little poetic. I'll just read a couple of lines here. A Persian's, remember, Enki was, I don't think I mentioned this, I said it last week, Enki would have been the god that spoke to Noah, that as the deluge was going on, Enki was preparing Noah, and I believe that's in these records, to take samples of DNA from animals, from plants, and of course some humans, so that if people died, that there would be DNA to continue. This is something called Man is God. A person should steadfastly proclaim the exaltedness of his God. The young man should devoutly praise the words of his God. The people living in the righteous land should unravel them like a thread. May the Balak singer assuage the spirit of his neighbor and friend. May it soothe their hearts, bring forth, utter, and measure out. Let his mouth, shaping Olamot, not the men, soothe the heart of his God. For a man without God does not obtain food, okay? Now remember, they were God, okay? They were presenting themselves as God. And I don't know about you, but I can feel the energy of this being the precursor to the Old Testament, okay? This is it. There's a young man who, let me say this, they're trying to control people. And they're the gods. Here's some proverbs that they had. Sayings. Who can compete with righteousness? It creates life. If wickedness exerts itself, how will Uta succeed? should not cut the throat of that which already has its throat cut. You should not say to Mengistadut, I don't know who she is, or he, let me live. Do not make me pass through the gate. What has submitted will exhibit resistance. What has been destroyed belongs to a god. No one is able to take it away. Though I still have bread left over, I will eat your bread. Will this endear a man to the household of his friend? My things change things. Okay, that's enough. Let's see. 6:46. We got about 10 minutes. And, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Are you unmuting yourself?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay.
I hear you.
Yes. All right.
So, are you ready? No.
No.
Are you willing?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, you are a little bit, there's a little buzz on the line. Okay.
Oh, that's, there, I think I let it go.
Now I don't hear it. What happened?
I disconnected the power cord and moved it away from the chair.
Okay, good. That worked. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be dispersed and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is Ra'an, and we are pleased to be with you. This is July 22nd, 2013. Is there a problem with the mic?
No. Everything is fine. Okay. I was just going to ask, before I formulate any questions, is there anything you want to comment about this period we're talking about?
Thank you. We see that this is a formative period from which past periods have been emulated out of, have come out of. And we see that there's great interest in this period to know what was trapped, was laid down, out of which some of the problems that exist in Earth today are still manifest as the interest in this area of time was formative for a base platform on which the future came about, the races that developed came about. Not all of the races on Earth today stemmed from these areas in Sumeria. Not all of the races and all of the people. There were seedings on top of this in Africa and the mid part of Africa at various times. There were other areas of Earth which had their own separate development. It is tracked, which has become obscured due to Earth changes, due to the obscuring of history, of written history, by records being destroyed, by the great changes of war that obliterated some of the history. The use of nuclear weapons, which some are not aware had been used before this period of time, but had been a weapon of choice of the Anunnaki and in the distant memory held within the earth, held within the grids. There is memory held within the rocks. There is memory of nuclear weapons being used in the Pakistan-Indian border, in the Middle East. Do you have questions?
One question is, there's something called the Alexandria Library where a lot of secret records were kept, books were kept, which was apparently held in high regard by people of the time, and then it was burned down. Did that library have the history of what we're talking about this evening?
The library had a lot of the history. It was brought there when it was realized that Atlantis was in danger. The records were brought here as it was felt that Egypt, being more central, would not undergo so severe earth changes. And the records were set out there in scrolls, in cuneiform, in other languages, and there was a big translation project to get them all into the Sanskrit type record.
We know that there were other root races, for example, the Chinese. Were the Anunnaki involved in the other root races? Or were there similar escapades from other planetary populations that came here and created, I don't know if they did hybriding or if they just did their own birthing. Is there anything to share about that?
There were outposts that were set up in the Chinese area, much like Columbus discovering America. It was a place where souls, as their planet, was going under. could go and start a new life, could get a whole new look. And there was instrumentation, science that was brought with spaceships. And there was more than one group, and they worked together. We, the Anunnaki, much like there are different airlines that travel to different places, China Airlines, like Swiss Airlines. And these groups worked simultaneously, although China was earlier, and they bought provisions for the people at the outpost. There was the Chinese. There were the Africans. There was an African settlement that was separate from, we look further, was separate from the Anunnaki seating in South Africa. There was then, after the Anunnaki seating and the progression of the seeding through more of Africa, there was the Syrian connection that attempted to help and be connected and give support to the group in the mid of Africa.